Hi, this is Paul Puckett. Welcome to Getting There. Today on the show, we're going to open with a song you know. We're going to open with a song because what we're going to do is try to answer the problem the song describes. And that, of course, was the Rolling Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction. That was a live recording. All music you hear on the show, incidentally, is from YouTube. So, you know, in addition to the links I give to the artist on the website, if you'd like, you can also go watch the videos on YouTube. I always encourage you, if you hear something you like and you don't have it in your collection, buy it. Buy it. Music doesn't cost that much, and it gives more than it costs in general. Okay, how many of you ever feel like you just can't get satisfaction? A lot of us, as a matter of fact, I think all of us at times, feel like I just can't get no satisfaction, except for English teachers. They would say, I cannot gain satisfaction. Sorry. Okay. Well, why can't we get satisfaction? What gets in our way when it comes to having satisfaction? One problem that may get in our way is with everything these days. If you want an answer, you go to Google or Bing or whatever search engine you prefer, and you say, you know, what is this? What do I do about it? How do I solve this? Even simple stuff. I can't find a good recipe for zucchini bread. I'll Google it. And you get 32,742 recipes for zucchini bread, hopefully one of which tastes the way you want it to. So if this story I'm about to make up and tell bears any resemblance to a real story, I guess that means I'm on the right track, but my apologies to whoever the originator of that story is. But, you know, we have a problem today that we didn't have 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and we certainly didn't have it prior to that. So let's step out of the box for a minute and think about guru. What is a guru? Well, you know, in the old days, the guru was someone at the top of the mountain, and a pilgrim or a seeker of knowledge would make their way up that mountain through whatever happens to be on the mountain, the rocks, the cliffs, pack of wolves, whatever, the challenges that they would face getting to the top of that mountain. And then hopefully once they got there, they would find the guru probably sitting cross-legged in front of a cave. And with any luck, the guru would enlighten them, and then they would come back down the mountain. If we think about today, and I don't necessarily mean September 7th, 2016, I just mean in general, if we think about the world today, the story of climbing that mountain and facing the challenges to find the guru at the top, I mean, that's not the way the story would probably go. What would happen is you would get in your inbox, in your email, your mailbox outside, and on TV and radio, just a plethora of advertising letting you know that you need to talk to this guru on top of the mountain, and we can get you there quicker, faster, or more luxuriously than somebody else. So you pick one of them because you do want the enlightenment the guru offers, right? And so you head to the mountain. On the way to the mountain will be little gurus, or they may be bigger than the guy at the top of the mountain, you just don't know, who are going to give you lots of advice because they know that's what you're looking for. You seek it at the top of the mountain. Why wait? Here's some advice, right? You won't be lonely climbing the mountain because there's going to be a guru behind every boulder, on top of every boulder, sitting on a branch of every tree, giving you unsolicited advice on your way to see the guru that you had heard about. Most people will never make it to the mountain or up the mountain because what we have today that sort of gets in the way of satisfaction, it's one of the things that does, is data overload. Data overload. Okay, I'm adding to data overload, I hear you say. Maybe so. What I'm hoping to do is be a little different, make you think, so that you can get some satisfaction. Let's take a brief break. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. You know, I was talking to a local listener. I will protect their anonymity and not mention where they make coffee. Oops. And they were very interested to know, so where exactly is B-Town Coffee? I haven't lived here that long, as they served me my iced quad shot espresso. For some reason, I found that amusing. You know, it is funny. No matter what coffee shop you go to, baristas who love coffee will drive anywhere that you tell them is awesome coffee. I think it's healthy. You want to look at your competition. You want to taste the competition. You might want to go work for the competition. Who knows? Or you might want to recruit somebody from there. Okay, so I can't get no satisfaction, right? One of the reasons you may have difficulty, I know this has been an issue for me at times, not now, thank goodness. One of the reasons we can't get no satisfaction might be, just might be, that we feel like what we have is just not enough. That was The Who. It's not enough. It's not enough. You know, when you feel like you don't have enough, you probably can't get no satisfaction. Seriously. You might feel like you don't have enough because of the articles I read and titles I see in the investment press. We move now to the money section of the show, combining money with your life, because money is not your life, or at least it shouldn't be. It's just a tool. It's just a tool, but you do need to get comfortable with using your money so that you can have satisfaction. And you know, you're going to be told, just about no matter how much you have, it's not enough. That's what people in my profession and particularly financial journalists like to do. You need $2 million to retire is a recent article. When actually I say a recent article, I've been seeing that article with varying dollar amounts always big for years. Well, that can make you feel, frustrated. You can't get enough. Not only can you not get satisfaction, you're frustrated trying to because, you can't get enough. But is that accurate? Is that accurate? There was an article on Reuters carried it, but I believe it's a U.S. News and World article. I'll put it up on the website. Of six countries you can live in where $200,000 will last you 30 years. Thank God they wrote that article. Now if you have $200,000, you'll know where to retire. Well, what if $200,000 is enough? And what if $200,000 lasts 30 years or more here in the United States, depending on how much of it you need? I'll give you an example. Well, first of all, you've heard me say on the show before, almost 50% of Americans live purely off of Social Security in retirement. Let me repeat that. Almost 50%, it's like 49, of Americans' sole source of income in retirement is Social Security, which is not a lot of money. Well, you've got an extra $200,000, right? Well, you can take fairly safely, if you invest it appropriately, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a year on a $200,000 portfolio. Now, for many of you, that may not sound like much, an extra $500, $600, $700 a month. But you know what? For most Americans, that is, that's plenty. That's plenty. It's all a matter of how you structure it and recognizing you may not need the $2 million that the articles tell you you need to retire. Chances are, you definitely don't need it if you're an average American. Those articles are really intended for the top 20%. I mean, well, not the top 5%, because obviously they don't have to worry about getting $2 million. But for the rest of us, it's just not that bad. It's not that heavy. So, I'd like you to just sort of step back and think, maybe we should stop trying to keep up with the Joneses, or as my daughter says, keep up with the Kardashians. Focus on what we have, find some satisfaction, and realize we may have enough. We really might. We really might. Now's a good time for the disclosure. This is Paul Puckett. I'm an investment advisor representative of Q1 Advisors, an independent investment advisory firm located in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and serving clients in Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida. I'm also an independent insurance agent in Florida, serving clients in Florida and Virginia. Everything you hear on this show is intended to make you think, maybe give you an idea that helps you find a solution to something, or generate a phone call to your professionals, or to me if you feel like it. It is not intended to be followed in a specific way by any listener to the show. Why? Because I don't know anything about you other than the fact that you're listening, and what I tell you may not be like those news articles. What I tell everybody on the radio may not be what you need. You may need something more specific. As a matter of fact, you probably do. Do you ever feel like you're just singing in the dead of night? This is a cover of a Beatles song by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Blackbird.
Thank you. Thank you for coming here tonight, too. Thank you very much. This next song is a song from our favorite group. We, too, have a favorite group.
The Simpsons!
It's not The Simpsons. No.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free.
Can tell that was a live recording of Crosby, Stills, and Nash performing from their favorite group, a cover of course, the Beatles, Blackbird. Blackbird. I had no idea that the band, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, their favorite band is the Beatles. You know, so getting back to that guru concept, I think most of our favorite musicians were inspired by somebody. Sometimes we can hear it in their music, sometimes we can't. But it is always interesting to find out, you know, what was your inspiration? But we can get too much of that. As you can probably tell, the overriding theme of today's show is, I think you can have satisfaction. I think you can have enough. I want you to feel that way. But at the same time, there's lots of stuff that gets in our way. And what I hope to do, at least introduce in today's show, is the concept of, you know, maybe it's not your fault you don't feel satisfied or feel like you can't get enough. Maybe there's just a few things you need to change that you're currently doing. And maybe it's some things you need to ignore. I'll give you an example of that. I have several email addresses, different little, you know, I have an email address for the book. I have an email address, actually, for both books. Of course, Q1 Advisors email address, ppucket.com, now the show Getting There. So I have lots of email addresses, and some of them I don't pay much attention to. They're older. But I sort of thought maybe I should consolidate all those and get a look at them. One of them, the email, was set up in 2010. There were no personal emails, in other words, specifically addressed to me. There were 15,366 emails. I'm sorry, that briefly left me speechless. Okay, so there were 15,000 some odd emails that were generated by little things I subscribed to. You know, I didn't realize they sent daily, some of them more than once a day. And in 6 years, I have this massive compilation of more garbage than you can possibly imagine. Now, some of that garbage is useful if I felt like wading through the rest of it to get to it, which I don't. And I would not recommend you do that either. So we create in our lives a lot of noise. And getting through that noise can be difficult. And if you pay too much attention to the noise, you're just not going to get anything done. You're not going to feel like you're getting anywhere, and you'll get frustrated. You know, introducing the brand new Maserati, just $90,000 or whatever, and you're like, man, I always wanted one of those. If only I had the money. Well, maybe you don't really deep down want the Maserati. Okay, or maybe you do, and if you're young enough or you got a really good idea and you want to pursue it, then do what you need to do to get there. But don't sit around constantly looking at things that you don't really want because the Joneses have them. I made that reference a second ago. You know, in Investophobia, one of the fears people have is created by their desire to keep up with the Joneses. The neighbor's got a new car. The neighbor's putting an addition on their house. The neighbor is moving to the country club. We pay attention too much to the Joneses. Never, as I said, my daughter suggested that to be more millennial oriented. It was determined, by the way, when I was a guest last week on Aimed to Purpose with Louise Hicks, that the millennial generation does include my daughter. She looked it up. She said, I should say, keeping up with the Kardashians. But, you know, there's an old song. There's an old song about keeping up with the Joneses. Maybe that might offer us some good advice.
Now listen, if you see something you sure you can't afford it, but the very next thing for you to do is start saving toward it. The Joneses have been the downfall of many persons you see. So people, take my advice and let the Joneses be. Ow!
Don't let the Joneses,
don't let the Joneses,
don't let the Joneses
get you down.
And that was The Temptations. Demonstrating this issue has been around a while, because that song is about 50 years old. Don't let the Joneses get you down, or the Kardashians, or quite frankly, anybody else. You know, it really comes down to some pretty simple things. Don't let things get overcomplicated, whether it's in your life or in your portfolio. Try to block out some of that noise. Because the noise, I mean, think about it. Where do you get your best ideas? Is it in a crowd or when you're on your own? Or maybe you don't get great ideas, or you get lots of them and it doesn't matter where you are. We're all different. But for me, an overload of data, although it may eventually generate an idea, it just gets in the way and it can make you feel stress. Stress isn't good. I mean, it can be good. It can be a good motivator. But overall, best to avoid if you can. Sometimes stress can be caused by legitimate issues. You know, deep down inside, you have no idea what your investment portfolio is made up of or why you own the things you own or what you'd expect from them. And you're not quite sure the person helping you maybe has your best interest at heart. And so you might have some legitimate stress that you need to do a little research. Talk to other professionals. Don't spend a lot of time on it, but the most time you should spend on your portfolio is at the beginning of a change in management, at the beginning when you first start out, but also at the beginning of, okay, I'm tired of having a bunch of stuff. I don't know what it is, so I'm going to spend the bulk of my time trying to find the right person to help me, as opposed to trying to figure out, well, you know, that makes me think. I probably shouldn't be Googling how to archive email when right down the street is not only an Apple store for my MacBook, but there's a Microsoft store for my Windows 10 issues. And I could just take both computers, schedule appointments, go down there, and probably in 15 minutes, they'll be like, oh, click here, click it, right click, hit enter, boom. And then I'm done with it. I don't really need to know. I really don't. How to program my computer. I really don't want to know. They lost me after Windows 3.1 to show my age. All righty. You know what? I think I'll have a little espresso while we take a break, unrelated to espresso. People today are living longer than ever before, thanks to medical technology. Even when we have accidents, we're able to recover from things that not too long ago we couldn't recover from. Have you suffered from a fall lately, or are you recovering from a surgery or an illness, or maybe age is causing you to have problems remembering to take your medications, or you need help bathing or dressing, or even just handling your daily chores or going shopping? I'd like to introduce you to a company that can help you. Caring Touch provides caregivers, certified nurses' assistants, home health aides, homemakers, and companions to help you through the activities of daily living that you may be having trouble with. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they'll structure a schedule that works for you. Give them a call at 941-376-9338. That's 941-376-9338. You know, Caring Touch is one of the companies here in the local area and out in Arizona and Colorado that provides a service that is a very needed service, particularly as people age and need help with things. A ride to the grocery store, help getting their laundry done, help keeping their place clean, sometimes help getting dressed or preparing food, and ultimately even getting fed. It's a reminder that one of the reasons why we sometimes may have a challenge when it comes to getting satisfaction is because we know our time is limited. But if you flip that, that means we should make the most of the time we have. Of course, if you're so focused, I'm rapsing philosophical here, my apologies. If you're so focused on making the most of your time, you might feel guilty for wasting a minute. But you gotta cut yourself some slack. You really do. You really do. You got to understand that you can't be 100% all the time. Think about one of the most efficient things you own. Hopefully this won't trigger stress for any of you who are like, well, mine's not very efficient. Your car, right? Most of the time it runs. Most of the time it runs well. I'm resisting the urge to name a brand just for fun. But most of the time it does what it's supposed to. You go out and you crank it and the engine actually starts. And you back out or do whatever it is you do. You go where you're going. You don't even think about it. You might think about it if the give me some more gasoline light comes on. But pretty much, it's just running, right? So your car is efficient. It does not waste time, except due to traffic. It runs. You can even listen to music and have air conditioning. You don't think about it, but your car is pretty efficient. But here's something you definitely probably haven't thought about. Your car is usually sitting in a parking place or in your driveway or parking garage or your garage most of the time. It's not wasting time. It's just not, it doesn't need to be doing anything right then. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you use your car an hour a day, you should mentally focus on life, focus on getting things done for an hour a day, and the other 23 goof off. No, but I am saying you need downtime. If you look at everything in life, animals, whatever, they all have downtimes. Look at the seasons of the year. Summer, well, let's start out the right way. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Let's start over again. Sun always comes up in the east last time I checked. So there are things that we need to focus on and get done, but there's also times we need to just kick back and relax. And we need ultimately to accept what it is we have as enough. As enough. Once we reach a stage where it's too late to go out and work and earn more, we don't need to sit around regretting what we don't have because, A, not going to change it, and B, you usually don't come to that awakening suddenly. Well, unless an emergency pops up. You usually come to that awareness because you're comparing yourself to the Joneses and you're trying to keep up. Or somewhere in your head you thought you were going to have more, but it just never happened. What we need to learn how to be is happy with what we have while working for more and while taking care of the management of what we have in such a way that we still have it a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, maybe even grow it a little bit. That is possible, by the way. So, you know, if this show seems a little disconnected in some ways and connected, what I'm trying to do is get you just sort of wake up and recognize that you can't make, well, you might be able to, but it's rare. The odds of you making a good decision when you aren't feeling satisfied or you feel like you never will be satisfied, you just don't have enough, can either create the fears I wrote about investophobia, or it can just create an atmosphere where you've got so much stress, how are you supposed to think straight? Particularly when, as I said, the guru may or may not be at the top of the mountain, but between you and the top of the mountain are a million of them. I mean, I'm probably underestimating the number of things we get hit with daily. I switched over from cable TV quite a while ago to Roku. It's a device that lets you stream Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. It's also cheaper than cable, just on a side note for those of you who are watching your budget. That's not the exact reason why I did it. I did it because I happen to like British TV, and that's usually not on cable over here, for obvious reasons. Anyway, most of those streaming services have minimal commercials, if they have commercials at all, and they also generally offer pay an extra $2 a month, you don't have to listen to the commercials, whatever. Well, the other day, something was on Real TV that was a football game. It's been a while since I've watched Real TV, and generally speaking, the football games aren't available on Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. I gotta tell you, I had forgotten how many commercials back to back and throughout a TV show or a football game. I mean, it blew my mind. It's been so long since I watched regular TV. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I mean, and they always put them, if you're watching a TV show, they always put them like on these reality shows. Candace, will you still be married to this guy you've been married with? I saw the show on A&E last night for a minute or two. Married at First Sight or something. You know when they look at her and say, so it's been 2 weeks, do you want to stay married or get a divorce? Like it's some kind of a game. And she's sitting there, concentrating. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know it's going to commercial. It's going to commercial. If I wanted to be humorous, I'd go to one now too. Focus is important. Get rid of some of these distractions you don't need, particularly the ones that cause stress. You don't need it. You know, I got a suggestion from a friend of mine to do a show. Those of you who know me will find this sort of amusing. But funny enough, it's something I'm working on with my 15,300 and something emails in one account. And it's something I think most people periodically have to do. It's a relatively recently coined word. And it applies not just to your investment portfolio and not just to the contents of your house or your email inboxes, but to your life in general. So there will be a show coming, friends of mine, please brace yourself, on how to declutter in preparation for retirement. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I will be talking about decluttering. A man once nicknamed the Lord of Chaos due to my ability to clutter a space very rapidly. But, you know, over the past decade, I have begun the decluttering process. There's just too much stuff. I mean, for one thing, you go to look for something you really want, and how are you supposed to find it when it's buried beneath this, that, and the other? Now, don't start picturing the hoarders or something. It's been 40 years since I was that bad. I was never really a hoarder, just not real good at putting stuff away. We all can make improvements, as evidenced by the fact that right now the only thing sitting on this table is the computer, my cell phone, and my other computer. Pretty much. I mean, be amazed. Be amazed. All right. I want to talk a little bit about why I use so much music on the show. I did some videos. I'm going to start doing them again. About the fears people have about money, which I call investophobia, that get in the way. And one of the things I did intentionally is I did not put on a tie, a coat, make sure I had really good lighting in my office with the whiteboard or something that has charts and graphs and everything on it. Why? Well, because I don't want somebody who has fears about money and fears about investing and fears about investment people stealing their money or mismanaging it to be looking at somebody who looks like that. I want them comfortable, right? So I shot most of the videos. I was living in Virginia Beach at the time. I shot most of them in First Landing State Park or in the backyard with bushes and trees and the sun lighting the show. Because it takes you out of your element. Well, why do I use a lot of music on the show? Because music is it's been called the universal language. It's not just the lyrics. The music can have a really profound and positive effect on the listener. It gives you a chance to think, not necessarily about whatever it was I was talking about before I played the song. Sometimes when a song comes on, I'll suddenly remember something or think of something I intended to do, or I might remember something I did and smile and say, you know, I should go do that again. Music gives our brain an opportunity to process information or just stop processing information and just chill. That's a healthy thing to do. I use it on the show, and I try to pick songs. I actually go to quite a bit of work to find songs that illustrate points, and sometimes it works the reverse way. I'll hear a song and think, wow, that song makes such a great point. I'll have to play it on the show. So where do I get all this music, and how do I find it? Well, Google songs that are about time, songs that include in the lyrics Don't Keep Up With The Joneses. That's how I found the Temptations song. I'd heard it before, but I didn't remember it. Popped up, and I went, that's what I was looking for. You know, we find things. We go search for them. And then we either, you know, find what we're looking for or we don't. But the music you hear on the show all comes from YouTube. Why does it come from YouTube? Well, so I can play it on the show under a Creative Commons license. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I'll find a song and it takes 9 tries to find the one that I can play on the show. You know, that's not carrying a literal copyright. So I tell you all that just to say, maybe when you're sitting back and you've got something on your mind you're trying to solve, Google songs about whatever it is. Or just put on some tunes you like and chill out. That might be the solution. I want to play one last song today. We're going to do 5 songs today. I think it's 5. This one I heard by accident. Now, you all know I love Alan Parsons. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about writing a book called Everything I Needed to Know I Learned from Alan Parsons. And I could make it specifically about investing. Matter of fact, different artists, Zach Brown's Something's Gotta Give album, almost everything you need to know about how to manage your money is in Something's Gotta Give, particularly Who Knows, which applies to everybody who tries to predict what the market's going to do. Back to Alan Parsons. Alan Parsons' partner was Eric Woolson for all of the Alan Parsons Project albums. And the last album they worked on actually became a musical, and it created a little bit of a rift. I don't know them personally. I'm saying what I read. Due to some creative differences, and Eric Wolfson, his partner and writer of many of the songs, had collaborated on a piece called Freudiana, the album Alan Parsons produced for Eric, but it ended up being Eric Wolfson's project. And Freudiana is about the life of Freud. In the musical, there is a song. There's a song, and that I want to encourage you to not put pressure on yourself, but don't let this moment pass.
just when it seemed that miracles were not too much to ask. And though the world may turn too fast, if it should seem like paradise, don't let the moment pass. Don't let the moment pass.
And that was the voice of Marty Webb, a British Broadway singer, actress, performing Don't Let the Moment Pass from Eric Wolfson of the Alan Parsons Project, Freudiana. I hope I'm saying Freudiana right. You know, it never hurts to remind you, the past has already occurred. The future isn't here yet. The present is the only place where you have power. You can only act in the present. Now, you can change your view of the past. You can change your view of it, but you can't change it. It's already happened. So the flip side we haven't talked about is that can put pressure. That can put pressure on you to feel like I've got to get something done every minute. When you become obsessive about not wasting time, always being productive, you got, just like your car, you've got to take a rest. It's important. Even if you're just taking a nap, you can't go 100% all the time. So I want to talk about, very briefly as the show ends, Don't Let the Moment Pass, which I think is a gorgeous song. Don't let it pass doing something or not doing something you wanted to do. Recognize we only have so many moments, but we can't do something 100% of the time. We're not built that way. We're not supposed to be. I think that's the reason we can value the things we do experience, is because we know we have limited time. We're going to continue off and on this theme of I think you can have satisfaction. I think you can or may already have enough. But as time is limited, we come here towards the end of the show. Hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate the feedback I'm getting from some of you on topics to cover and wanting exact locations for B-Town Coffee. This is Paul Puckett from Getting There. Have a great week.